today, I want to talk to you about the gift of the shepherd. And I want to visit the Gospel of Luke. I want to visit the experience of the shepherds that is recorded in Luke chapter 2. And one of the most compelling parts of the Christmas story are the people whom God chose to add to the story. The shepherds in Luke 2, they were privileged to receive the most powerful news in human history. It's always intriguing to me that the angel of the Lord did not go to the rulers of the time, did not go even to the religious hierarchy, but the angel of the Lord went to shepherds in the field. It's amazing how God works. It's amazing of the people that he chooses to use to accomplish his own purpose. Isn't it amazing that he chose you and I, amen, as part of his divine plan? So, Gospel of Luke chapter 2. I don't know, maybe my timing might be a little off today. Maybe I should have had this reading for next Sunday, but we got it for today. And it's a little lengthy, but I want to take the time to read it today from verse 8 to verse 20. And we're familiar with the story because it is the primary narrative of the Christmas story. And it says that there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In other words, a feeding trough. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them." When you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, that's what happens. Amen. You just want to tell everybody, hallelujah, about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we read this in John chapter 10, verse 11. Those of you who are familiar with my preaching and teaching, whenever I make a reference to one of the great I am sayings of Jesus Christ, I always draw your attention to it because there are seven of them. And this is one of the great seven I am sayings of Jesus Christ. It's found in verse 11. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." He gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. A couple of things about a shepherd. A shepherd tends, a shepherd leads, guides, feeds, and protects. That's the ministry of a shepherd. That's what he does. He tends, he leads, he guides, he feeds, and he protects. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." So right there we can begin to see the gift of a shepherd. Next thing about a shepherd is that a shepherd is committed to the spiritual well-being of the sheep. Do you know why? Because the world is full of danger. The world is a dangerous place. And the shepherd is committed to the spiritual well-being of the sheep. Consider this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, or these two verses in Hebrews 13. It says, "May God, who puts all things together, makes all things whole, who made a lasting mark through the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice of blood that sealed the eternal covenant, who led Jesus, our great shepherd, up and alive from the dead, now put you together, provide you with everything you need to please him, make us into what gives him most pleasure by means of the sacrifice of Jesus, the Messiah. All glory to Jesus forever and always. Yes, yes, yes." See, that's what the word amen really means. Yes, and so be it. Hallelujah. What an incredible passage of scripture. Because it's God who puts all things together. It's God who makes all things whole. It's God who has provided the sacrifice. It is God who has led, as the scripture says, our great shepherd up and out from among the dead. May he now put you together. God is working, my friend. See, this is the gift of the shepherd. Because the shepherd, he's committed to your spiritual well-being. The shepherd tends to you. He leads you. He guides you. He feeds you. He protects you. Can you see how the shepherd is an awesome gift? So that's why I want to talk to you for a few moments today about the gift of the shepherd. Let's answer a question. Why do we need the shepherd? So we just read in the Bible, one of the great I am sayings, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life." He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, one of the greatest analogies that we have of the shepherd is found in an Old Testament psalm, one of the most beloved and well-known psalms in all of the Bible. We know it as Psalms 23, called the Shepherd's Psalm. Amen? What an analogy of the gift of the shepherd. So let's answer that question. A couple of things I want you to consider. Why do we need the shepherd? Here's the reason why. Because we have become independent of God. Isaiah 53:6, it says, "For we all we like sheep," and he uses the analogy, "all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." So outside of the shepherd, we are all living independent of God. That's the life of a sinner. That's the way of a sinner. You know, I am no longer a sinner. I am a child of God. I am part of the sheepfold. So I now live with the acknowledgement of the shepherd. See, that's why Proverbs 3 says, "Lean not unto your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." How many of you know that's the gift of the shepherd right there? When we acknowledge him, he directs us. But in the sin nature, we become independent of God. We are living among people today that don't know the Lord, that are independent of God because they are not reconciled to him. See, the gift of the shepherd, you have to get connected to the shepherd. When you're lost, you're not connected to the shepherd. See, here's the reason why we need the shepherd. I don't want to be independent. I don't want to go my own way. Frank Sinatra made the song famous. You know, "I did it my way. I made it to hell all on my own." Really, isn't that what that's saying? You know, I made it to hell all on my own. I did it my way. That, and Frank Sinatra was a great singer. We know that. I don't know where he stood with the Lord at the end of his life. I hope that he was reconciled to God. I hope he's in heaven. But, I don't know. But I do know this. That concept, I did it my way, is not the Lord's way. Amen? Because the Lord's way is to be our shepherd. Because what does the shepherd do? He tends, he leads, he guides, he feeds, and he protects. Another verse to consider is Proverbs 13:15. It says, good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It's hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. Here's the definition of a transgressor. A transgressor is one who infringes or goes beyond the bounds of a moral principle or other established standard of behavior. That's what a transgressor is. That is the definition of what it means to transgress. You know, another word that we might use in place of that is the word trespass. You know, you go into restricted areas, boundaries that are, you know, roped off, or boundaries that are set in place. You know, God sets boundaries by his laws, the laws of God. To go against those laws means to transgress. So the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. See, we live in a world of transgressors. You know, so a transgressor, because he's not connected to the sheep, to the shepherd, he's not following, you know, the directive of the shepherd. He does things his own way. You know, he lives life independent of God. So that's why the Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. Now, going back to Isaiah 53:6, where it says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Now, that word astray gives us some insight also into what we're talking about here, being independent of God. The word astray, it means to deceive, to be an error, to be ravished by sin, and to wander aimlessly. And my friend, that describes the condition of the world we live in. Because people live aimlessly. They have no guidance, no direction. Why? Because they are not connected to the shepherd. The shepherd is a gift. He's a gift. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Hallelujah. At one time I lived independent of God, but I thank God that I now have vision, I have purpose, I have guidance, I have direction, I have joy, I have peace, I have happiness. Do you know why? Because the shepherd is committed to my spiritual well-being. He put me back together years ago, and he's been improving me ever since. Hallelujah. How many of you know we are all in home improvement? Amen. Because he never stops. The only time that it stops is when we separate ourselves. You know, and we say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to live independent. There's a reason why the Bible says that we should pray about everything. Amen. We should pray about everything. Acknowledge God in every way. You know, acknowledge every decision in your life. Consult God. Seek God. Don't make choices and decisions on your own. You need the guidance of the shepherd. Amen. The shepherd is a gift. Here's the next reason. Why do we need the shepherd? Well, the next reason is found in Matthew's gospel, chapter 9 and verse 36. The Bible says that that Jesus looked out upon the multitude. And he didn't see it the way most people see it. He saw it differently. He saw the lives of the people differently. So this is what the Bible says. Jesus is going about all the cities and villages. He's teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing sicknesses, healing disease. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep. Look at this. Having no shepherd. Sheep with no shepherd. Jesus, remember, the shepherd is committed to the spiritual well-being of the people. Amen. He's committed to the spiritual well-being of the sheep. So Jesus sees the multitudes and he's moved with compassion. That phrase, sheep having no shepherd, that's a powerful phrase, because that is a military metaphor. Sheep without a shepherd is a military metaphor. In Numbers 27, Moses petitions God to provide a man who would lead the people in and out and who would bring them into the promised land. And in that verse of scripture, he said, lest they be as people, or lest they be as sheep without a shepherd. Now, who was the one that did that? Who was the choice? Anybody know? Who answered that prayer? Joshua. Joshua was the one. Joshua was a military commander. Now think of this. He had to conquer 10 cities. The book of Joshua is called the Book of Conquests, because there were enemies that had to be dealt with. There were cities that had to be conquered before the people could go in and take hold of the promised land. So Moses gives us this incredible metaphor, sheep without a shepherd. We don't want the people to be like sheep without a shepherd. See, because without the shepherd, the people have no guidance. The people have no protection. So the military metaphor here is that without the provision and the gift of the shepherd, the enemy ravishes the people. The enemy harasses. One of the translations says that they were harassed. Like sheep without a shepherd, they were harassed, the Bible says. He had compassion. The New King James says weary and scattered. But one version says they were harassed. Harassed by who? Harassed by the devil. How many of you know the devil is always messing with people? Amen? He's always messing with people. And if we don't have the shepherd, then he has a heyday in our lives. And that's why Jesus saw the people. They were transgressors. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed by the enemy. They were totally defeated. He saw their ravaged condition of their brokenness. My friends, we live in a world of broken people. All around us, people are broken. People are dealing with failed marriages. People are dealing with their kids on drugs. People are dealing with, with all kind of problems. Health issues, financial difficulties. I mean, problem after problem after problem. Because the enemy brings defeat. Isn't that interesting that we find that analogy of Joshua fulfilling the petition of Moses that the people needed a shepherd? And the shepherd that they get is Joshua, who, by the way, was an Old Testament type of Jesus Christ. And that Joshua, as a shepherd, was a military commander. Hallelujah. Because he's got to lead the sheep into great victories. These are the reasons why we need the shepherd. Now I want to go back to the shepherds in the field. Now in Israel, our group that went to Israel, we got to visit the side of that hill where the shepherds had this encounter with the Lord. And, I'm a tour guide. I'm already promoting Israel 2021. So we already have about 10 people that already have said they are definitely, definitely going. And, so we're going to believe God for that. And if the Lord allows, we're going to go in 2021. I tell you, I just want to, it's a place that I want to just go back to over and over again. We have the privilege to go to that place and be there. We have the privilege to go to Bethlehem. You know, we have the privilege to be in those places. You know, so I want to visit this idea, this concept of the angel going to the shepherds. Because the question is, why did the Lord choose shepherds? How many of you know we don't have all the answers to whom God chooses? Why did he choose Mary, you know, a young virgin girl, you know, to give birth to the Messiah? You know, we don't really have all the answers behind that. We simply know that God chooses based upon his own desire. Amen. His own purpose, his own plan. So why did the Lord choose shepherds? I believe we do have some insight, though, into why he chose shepherds. Now, let's first of all understand shepherds are not high society people. Amen. They're not. They're not the upper echelon. You're not going to see them in the local newspaper in the living section with all the high profile rich people, you know, attending their parties. I always wonder, why do we have to have a whole section of the newspaper devoted to the parties of the rich? Did you ever think about that? I mean, it's in the daily newspaper. My picture's not in there, so I really don't care. Now, if I get an invitation, my attitude, I'm sure, will change. But until then, I'm still waiting to be invited. But back to the seriousness of the word. That's not who he chose. You know, so these shepherds, you know, they were not socialites. You know, they were working class people. Even some commentators suggest that the shepherds were outcast of society. But we find that concept of shepherding all through the Old Testament. Even Moses himself was on the backside of the desert as a shepherd when he got the call of God. The greatest king that Israel ever knew. What's his name? David. Greatest king Israel ever had. Who was he? What was his occupation? He was a shepherd. The prophet Samuel goes to the house of Jesse. Jesse, he brings all of the athletes before him. You know, all Bible says all the buff, good-looking guys. And the Bible says that David was reddish and scrawny. Are y'all with me? He's out tending the sheep. So the prophet, he doesn't have a witness from God. He said, no, Lord didn't choose him. Oh, man, this guy's going to be the next, he's going to be the next Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, he went down the line. He said, nope, Lord didn't choose him. Nope, Lord didn't choose him. Nope, Lord didn't choose him. Jesse, is there any others? He said, well, yeah, there's David, but he's a sheep tender. Are y'all with me? You know, so maybe those commentators are right. You know, maybe there was, you know, this idea that shepherds were kind of outcasts. And then the prophet said, I'm not leaving until you bring him. And then he brings him and he said, this is the boy right here. He was 16 years old. He said, this is the one. Give me the horn of oil. And they poured it over his head. And I love what the Bible says in 1 Samuel. It said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Hallelujah. The purpose of God. Why did the Lord choose shepherds? Here's the first reason. Because God chooses the foolish things. Listen to these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? What a word. He says that makes it quite clear that none of you can get by without blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. Hallelujah. Don't blow your own horn. And we live in a culture of horn blowers. Hello, somebody. People love to blow their horns. Look at me. I mean, really, think about it. But God's word says he chooses the foolish things. Amen. He chooses the things that society would not choose. Even in the example that I just referenced of David, we find a verse of scripture that says the Lord does not see as men see. He makes his choice based upon his divine plan and purpose. He goes quite contrary to the commonality of society. Amen. He doesn't see like people see. And then he goes on and he says, because the Lord is looking on the inside. The Lord is looking at the heart. He's basing, you know, what he sees on the inside, what can happen, what he can do. And think of what this word says, that God chooses nobodies. He chooses nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. And thank God. You know, everything that we have, I love this, everything that we have, right thinking and right living and a clean slate and a fresh start, all of that comes from God. And it's all based upon, and he says it, the gift of the shepherd. It's because of the shepherd. It's because of what the shepherd did. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited to know that, my friend, you can think clear. You can have right thinking. Isn't it exciting to know that you can live right? Isn't it exciting to know that God wipes your slate clean? Isn't it exciting to know that he gives us a fresh start? And he does it all because of the gift of the shepherd. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why did the Lord choose shepherds? Because God chooses the foolish things to confound the mighty. Hallelujah. He doesn't see things the way people see them. See, that's why I want to have his vision. Amen. I want to have his vision. I want to see how he sees. I want to see people how he sees people. And it's so easy to not do that. You know, just like when we went out to distribute the bags yesterday, you know, among the homeless. And they were so appreciative. You know, they really were so appreciative. But you know how easy it is to stereotype people in those circumstances or situations. You know, and everybody, you know, I say this all the time. I'll say it again today. I'll keep saying it. Everybody is where they are in life based upon a series of choices and decisions they have made along the way. Whether they are in a good place or whether they are in a bad place. They are in a good place because they have made good choices and decisions along the way. Or they are in a bad place because they have made bad choices and decisions along the way. Amen. Everybody. So all of those people, it's so easy to stereotype and say, well, they're not right in the head. You know, they're alcoholics, they're drug addicts, you know, and I mean, we know that they may be dealing with all of those issues. But how did Jesus see them? He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, who are defeated, who are being defeated and ravaged by the enemy. And his heart is to rescue them. His heart is to bring them the gift of the shepherd. See, I want to see it like that. I want to have that kind of vision to see it like that. That's why one of my local pastor friends, he had a t-shirt made up about it, and they do street ministry every week. And he had a t-shirt made up about it. When you see it as he saw it, you'll do it like he did it. And I love that. I think that is so awesome. That is so powerful. When you see it like he saw it, you'll do it like he did it. And listen, we should always be reaching out to people. Amen. Just like the invitation with the cards. You know, listen, let's get excited about the Lord. Amen. Let's realize that, man, we need to influence people for God. We need to reach out to them, and you know, whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're going through, you know, they may be ravaged. They may be living independent, and they need the gift of the shepherd. They need the gift of the shepherd. Let's reach out to them, you know, and let's influence them. Let's touch them with the power of the gospel. I think we need to get back to old-fashioned soul winning. You know, let's begin to win people to God. You know, get them, listen, just get them to the house of God. I'll preach to them. You know, I'll get them at the altar. Amen. But let's get them here. Hallelujah. Let's bring them in. Even Jesus said, go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come into the Father's house. I think we need to get back to that. Amen. Because people need the gift of the shepherd. So why did the Lord choose shepherds? Well, here's the second reason. See, God was revealing a shepherd to shepherds. They would understand it. Look at what we read in 1 Peter chapter 5. And, you know, I'll read from the beginning of the chapter until verse 4, because he's giving direction to the elders. He's giving guidance to the elders of the churches. And he's encouraging them. You know, and I realize, you know, as a minister of the gospel, you know, I am a shepherd. You know, and we, Becky and I, as pastors of West Point, our greatest objective, our greatest desire is to see God's people to be spiritually well. Because if they are not spiritually well, then they're spiritually sick. Amen? So that's, you know, so that's our drive, that's our passion. You know, we are always believing God for the spiritual well-being of the people. The things that you go through, we bear that with you. Amen? You know, because that's what shepherds do. You know, so Peter is admonishing the shepherds of the local church. And then he brings it all back. See, because we are all under the great shepherd. Amen. He's the gift. Hallelujah. He's the gift. All right, so this is what he says. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock. He says, shepherd the flock, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. In other words, you can't be in it for money or any of those kind of things. If you are, then you are a hireling and you are not a shepherd. Amen? That's just the way it is. And God's word is clear about that. You know, so he says, and don't be as lords over those entrusted to you. And listen, I have seen examples of all of this in the church world. He says, so don't be lords over those entrusted to you, you know, as being examples but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Hallelujah. God was revealing a shepherd to shepherds. And it's a threefold revelation, because we find the good shepherd, then we find in Scripture the great shepherd, and then here in 1 Peter 5, we find the chief shepherd. Hallelujah. So the good shepherd is Jesus, the great shepherd is Jesus, and the chief shepherd is Jesus. Amen. So I got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all wrapped up in one. Hallelujah. That's why the little kid in Sunday school said, I don't need Guns N' Roses when I got Jesus and Moses. Hallelujah. I don't know where that little kid got that saying, but right on. Hallelujah. Amen. Good shepherd, great shepherd, chief shepherd. He was revealing the gift of the shepherd to shepherds. They would understand it. They would get it. And they caught a glimpse. It leads me to the next thing. We're almost done. The shepherds were given revelation of a large flock. I love this because we read in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10. I'm going to go back to John's Gospel, chapter 10. And I want to point out verse 14 through verse 16 to you. Listen to what this says. Because Jesus has already established the great I am saying of Christ. I am the good shepherd. All right, so look at what he says. John 10, verse 14. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. I love that. Because further on, he says, my sheep hear my voice. In other words, they recognize me. Hallelujah. They recognize my voice. So he said, I am the good sheep, or I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now look at verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Hallelujah. Only one. It's only one. That's why I blast the concept in our society that says there are many paths to God. There are many religions that lead to God. That is a lie. That is simply not true. God revealed himself through one person. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's why he was born of a virgin. He was a bona fide member of the human race, but yet he was not a sinner because he did not have the agency of human seed. Only Christ qualifies for that. God has done all that he can do to provide salvation. Isn't it amazing that people still reject the gospel? They still hate the name of Jesus. They still despise the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus said in the Gospel of John, one of the most tragic statements I think he ever said was when he spoke to the religious crowd. And he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. How sad. How sad. Because God offers the gift. I mean, he is the gift. And we can all become part of one large flock. Now, commentators tell us that this is a direct reference to all of the various people groups around the entire world. Because Jesus was a Jew. Salvation was of the Jews. But then we understand that all of that was changed. Because he is the Savior for all people. And that's why we go into Revelation chapter 4 and we find this scene around the throne of God. And he says there was a great, there's the word again, multitude. Jesus looked out in Matthew 9 upon the multitude, sheep without shepherd. Though go to Revelation, he says, John says, I saw a great multitude in heaven out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. All of the people groups, every race, every ethnic society is represented there. Hallelujah. All of them worshiping and praising God. Why? Because they have been given the gift, my friends, of the good shepherd. Revelation. They caught a revelation of a large flock that Jesus talked about in John 10. But how did they catch that revelation? Because they didn't have the Gospel of John chapter 10 to read. Amen? They were part of the story as it was unfolding. So how did they get that revelation? Well, let's go back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And I'll give you the concluding thought right here. Because the shepherds, my friend, caught a glimpse of the gift. And when you catch a glimpse of the gift, your life will never be the same again. Hallelujah. They caught a glimpse. All right, so look at what we read. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. It says in verse 17, it says, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known," look at this, "the saying which was told them concerning this child." The first evangelists were shepherds. Do y'all see this? They were the first evangelists because of this appearance. And then they began to tell everybody that they met. They began to tell them. That's what he's saying. They made it widely known what had been told them about Jesus Christ. And all of those who heard it marveled at the things that were told them by the shepherds. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. See, that's why you don't have to be a Bible scholar to share Jesus with somebody. You don't have to be a Bible teacher to share Jesus with somebody. The Bible says these were just simple shepherds. And all they did, they went back with a message of what they had heard and what they had seen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what he's done for me. That's all it is. See, that's the power of a testimony right there. Let me tell you what he's done for me. They caught a glimpse of the gift. Notice, my friend, what it says in that 17th verse. They made him widely known. Widely known. But then we back up in the narrative and we find that the angel says in verse 10, the angel's word to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good tidings of great joy, which will be to," look at it, "all people." See, this is where they caught the glimpse. They saw one flock, all people, everywhere. Jesus is the hope of every nation. Jesus is the hope of every person. Jesus is the hope because, my friend, he is the gift of the shepherd. And to know him is to know eternal life. Hallelujah. Have you caught a glimpse of the gift today?